Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, let's get into it. Let's find our pastor who's going to be talking to us. Pastor Chinyamalizu is going to be here, who is going to be talking to us about family. Remember, we've been talking about parenting this week, and so the pastor is going to be joining us in a short while to talk to us about parenting. Remember, parenting is more than guidance, eh? It's about building meaningful relationships with your children. So let's explore ways to deepen the connection and establish open lines of communication with our children. That's what we're talking about together, growing together with your children, not just growing the children, but you growing together with your children. As soon as the pastor joins us, we'll get into our conversation for today. And there you go. Pastor is on the line. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you so much, Brother Nai. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to all our listeners out there.
So we're talking about growing together with our children and growing deeper into a deeper connection. How can parents create a safe space for children to express their feelings, Pastor?
Okay, great thoughts right there. Number one is they can be able to create that safe space by drawing closer to their children. So as a parent, draw closer to your child or to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, reading verse 6 and 7, there the scripture admonishes us to teach our children while sitting with them, while walking with them, while lying down, while rising up. Meaning for us to achieve these four things, we should be able to always parents, no matter how busy you are, time to train your children whenever you have that given opportunity. A child can only empty themselves to a parent who will feel a parent is closer to them. Even just friendship, you can only empty what you are feeling, what you are going through to a friend you know and realize you are close before. Be flexible. Don't be a rigid parent. Just like a child that's over, just like a vehicle that is overtaking, so is an adolescent. They are just overtaking, and sooner or later they will get back on track.
Okay. Then this idea of active listening seems to be a buzzword today. What role does active listening play in effective communication with your children?
Right. Active listening is one of the key ingredients in the aspect of communication. We understand that through active listening, confidence is inspired in the person who is transmitting the message. So active listening in parenting inspires confidence in your child, in your teenager, and it allows them to express themselves fully. Number one, and it also helps you as a parent to picture the perspective of what your child is trying to talk about, what your child is trying to put across. Take, for instance, we have a good man in the Bible who was a priest, Priest Eli, Mr. Eli, a good priest, God-fearing. But when it comes to parenting, he's one of the bad examples or, you know, worst examples of bad parenting. So you and I, dear parents, for us to inspire confidence in our children to understand their pace, to be able to listen to their view, we should also be able to instill confidence in them and give them a reason why they should tell us what they want to tell us before we sleep, why they should tell us what they want to tell us as we are about to leave for work. So the only way we can achieve that is by active listening. Show them that, hey, little one, you are wasting my time. Don't you know I'm the security team to the president? You know, show your child that you have time for them. Active listening.
I'm trying to figure out the idea of family traditions and rituals. How can family traditions and rituals strengthen bonds? Are they even necessary?
Okay, awesome. Tradition is something that is good, especially if it doesn't go against the principles of God. This is why when Christ came upon planet Earth, he also upheld tradition. He joined in where there were weddings, he joined in where there were funerals. He was able to advise, but he didn't just come and just cancel out every tradition. So in other ways, when Christ came, he analyzed that particular kind of tradition, the way of doing things. Then he was able to remove what was wrong and leave what was right. So in today's world, the fast-moving time, tradition is important because it creates lasting memories in our children, and it helps them to be able to receive moral education. In our times, if I remember well, we used to all wash our hands from one particular basin, one dish. Maybe we are eight of us. We all wash our hands. Of course, the parents begin. Then we, the children, wash our hands and we sit down, either on the table, either on the floor. The food is served. Probably we are put in threes or fours. And as we are eating there, we are all quiet. And the mommy or dad, as we are eating slowly, they are narrating some story, and slowly we are all listening and we are all paying attention. So tradition is important because it strengthens bonds and it gives moral education. What else can we say about tradition? It gives a sense of belonging. You know, the issue of putting together, doing things together, telling your son, your daughter, get a broom, begin from this side, your son, get a slasher or a shovel, begin from this other end of the yard. It imparts a sense of hard work in them and combat issues of laziness. I think that is what I can put across on family tradition and rituals.
Let's just touch on more about the issue of communication. How do you adapt communication styles and fundis for different ages and personalities? I suppose you can't talk to all children the same way. You need to adapt them. So how do you do that?
Right. The issue of adapt. When I see this word adapt, it reminds me of one of the rules in the 10 basic rules of driving in the book, the small book called The Highway Code. And one of them is adapt to your road traffic conditions so that you will be able to handle and control your vehicle. So you adapt to the road traffic conditions and adapt also to your speed so that you handle and manage your car in case of any emergency. So how can we adapt communication styles? Number one, we have to strike a difference between a little child, let's say 0 to about 9, 10 or 12 years. There is a tone that we will use for such a child, or such an age group. Then also an age group from about 13 to about 19 or 20, we are going to match our tone and our gestures according to that particular age, because there are so many developmental happenings that are taking place in the brain of that child. So we will be able to match our tone and our gestures according to the age. The smaller child, you can shout at them, scream at them, hey, sit down, finish eating your food. If you don't eat your food, if you don't finish your food, I will not buy you chocolate. Well, you're telling a teenager. You will not say, sit down, come here, finish your food. If you won't finish your food, I'll not buy you lion. I'll not do this and that for you. So you are going to change. That's one way of adapting. And then the other way is use the right medium. You can call a small child, shout at the child, and put them in their right place. Well, they will not even hate you. But now somebody who is a teenager and they think they're having some small breasts developing, some small beards and pimples on the face developing, you will be able to even follow them at times because you know that they are moody and they are in a transitional period. So you will follow them and you will talk to them properly and show them the right way. So you are reading the circumstances and then you are coming out well, talking well, and knowing how to articulate yourself to them.
There are adolescents that are difficult to read. Those teenagers, they are so difficult to read. What strategies can parents use to stay connected during the stage of adolescence, Mfundis?
Right. Right, adolescence is the most critical stage in every life. It is a transitional period from childhood to adulthood. An adolescent is not an adult. In fact, they are still young. They are very, very young adults, still poor, still fragile, still vulnerable, still in a growth process. And right there in adolescence, dear listeners, the judgmental capabilities are still very, very shallow. They are still analyzing things. They are still developing. And they are ready to take risks. They don't fear because they'll only fear when they are injured. But otherwise, it's a highly, highly sensitive stage. So number one, how can we be able to remain connected to the adolescents? Number one is use training techniques other than teaching techniques. What do we mean by that? Teaching, you are beginning again. Come here, little boy. Come here, little girl. Do you see this? Yes. So now you start. You do what I'm doing. So you're showing, leading by example, and that child is following. You are teaching. But training, you are dealing with somebody who has gotten some teaching of something, somewhere, somehow. So as a parent, let us shift from the teaching technique to the training technique. So we are changing from teaching to training. In other words, what do we mean? We are migrating from control to guidance. So we are guiding them nicely, but in a way where we don't show them that we are controlling them so much, but we are showing them that we are guiding them, because adolescents or teenagers can be very, very unpredictable. So the teenagers not run away from your presence as a parent, as a guardian, thinking that all you do, all what uncle or auntie does is to control us, is to shout at us. They feel as though they are the dumbest people on earth. And then when they see such a person who treats them in that way, the best they can do is to flee away. So let us not be the people that will make these teenagers run away by controlling them, but let us guide them. Let's not teach them. Let's train them. And finally, how else can we handle this? Let us give them their freedom, but let us monitor their freedom. As we give them freedom, they want to listen to what they want to listen to. They want to listen to Ja Rule. They want to listen to Tupac. At the same time, they want to listen to the Soothing Chronicles or any of these gospel songs. But let us give them that freedom. But even as they get the freedom, let us tell them that this freedom comes at a cost, so they can do what they want to do, but let us keep an eye on them, so that even them, the God-given wisdom in them, will ring a bell to say, well, would mommy or daddy or uncle be happy with this? So give them the freedom, but monitor them in their freedom.
Okay. All right. I'm taking notes from this. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. Appreciate your insights. I'm looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, for them, Mfundisi.
Thank you so much to you, and thank you to the listeners. God bless you.
Thank you, Mfundisi. All right, that is Pastor Lizu Chinyama talking to us about how we can handle our children, how we can take care of our children, most importantly, how we can nurture that bond between your child and yourself. Remember, the idea is for us to be good parents to our children. And so do all you can, expand your communication lines and all these wonderful things that the pastor was talking about. He's coming back tomorrow to talk to us even more about all these things that we need to learn.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.